This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, how you doing, my friend?
Well, I'm a lot cooler than I was outside.
Oh.
How's that?
Okay.
It's not extremely hot out there, mm-hmm. but, you know, this is a more comfortable temperature here.
81 outside, it says.
Yeah. Well, I walking across your parking lot with pavement all around me, it was about 97.
Oh, I believe it.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, we're going to talk about plants today.
Okay.
And hopefully you're listening and you learned something from the information that I have want to present to you. Okay, so you have a question, 673-4464, and doesn't matter what I'm talking about at that time, interrupt. It can be about, if I'm talking indoor plants, you can ask about your lawn or your elm tree that's leaning over or something, whatever it is. But this is a gardening show, a landscaping show, kind of a catch-all for all kinds of things that grow outside, inside, and upside down.
How's Sometimes that? We get off into the weeds, but that's all
whoa,
right.
Whoa, we got a clever host here with me, my anti-host.
Anti-host.
But anyway,
yeah.
I try to make it interesting all the time. So listen up. If you want to learn anything, I got lots of stuff to tell you. Indoor plants, boom, 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 you know, the kind that we don't plant in the yard, but we put in a pot and put in the living room, indoor plants, okay? They play a big part in our homes. They help decorate, they create clean air, and they just give us pleasure with blooms and new green growth. And it seems that almost every home has at least one living plant on their, I don't know, windowsill or something like that. It can be a real small one, but I haven't been in every home, so I don't know that to be factual information.
Well, yeah, you have. You've been on the radio, so you've been in
quite
a few homes.
Well, yeah, figuratively speaking. I'm the invisible landscaper.
There you go. Oh. My favorite indoor plant is a jade plant. You can't kill those.
I love them, and that's one of my favorites as well. and that's one of the ones we're going to talk about too.
All right, good.
Yeah. So you got the jackpot on that, buddy.
Cool.
So in general, indoor plants are usually tropical, and they grow naturally in warmer climates.
And could be clients.
Yeah, it could be. And we here in the Pacific Northwest have to duplicate those growing conditions in order to keep them healthy and alive and looking good. So, the secret to success in proper light, water, and fertilizer is, you know, good draining soil is very, very important in an indoor plant. So, when buying indoor plants, make sure you learn what the plant needs for good growth. In other words, speak to the person that sells it to you. And if they don't know what anything is about the plant, well, get a book, look it up, get your internet magic screen thing and look it up, and it'll give you a lot of information. But if you do everything correctly, you're going to have success. And correctly doesn't mean some exacting science. It means feel the soil. If it's dry, you water it. Put it where it's going to get some light. Give it some fertilizer once in a while. And not the fertilizer you'd put on your lawn, but something that is good for indoor plants. Could be a liquid or something like that. So good draining soil, like I say, is very, very important.
Inside, is Miracle-Gro good for it?
Yes, Miracle-Gro is
okay.
A good one. you know, and sometimes you can use Miracle-Gro and then maybe mix it up with a different brand, because they're all different kind of combinations.
Oh.
They're not all identical. They're,
gotcha.
You know, it could be Miracle-Gro, or it could be, you know, Joe Blow good fertilizer.
They have another ingredient.
Exactly, that, yeah. Exactly. And some of them will have trace elements in there, and we've spoken about that a long, 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 long time ago in many occasions. But the soil is very important, so when you're buying that indoor plant, make sure you learn what the plant needs for good growth. That's the bottom line. What does it need? I mean, the store, whatever store you bought it from, if it's a box store or Wintergreen Nursery, you know, the plants come in a good soil mix because they're grown in, good conditions, you know, in a greenhouse. Mm-hmm. And so they've got, you know, the best of all worlds in there with soil, with light, with water, with fertilizer and all that. So they're lush. They look good. So I've known people to take home a perfectly good indoor plant, call in 3 weeks and say, boy, there's something wrong with my plant.
Oh,
and,
well, no,
what
no,
what
no.
is it? Well, it's doing this, this, and this, and you know, and so I start doing my detective spiel. You know, how you watering? Are you watering, you know, every day or once a month, or you know, blah 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 blah. And usually, I come up with a solution.
Right.
and find the problem. And I said, try this and see if that works. And but nobody ever calls me back and told me it works. So
of course not. You'd hear from them if it didn't.
Yeah, that's right. It died the day after I called you, man. But you'll find, you know, some plants don't need as much care as other plants. I mean, there are some that are highly intense and you have to pay real attention to them. Mm-hmm. So if you've never grown an indoor plant or selected an indoor plant, there are some that you should avoid and some that are easy to grow. So always shoot for the easy to grow kind.
Absolutely.
And I'll talk about that later in the program. Mm. Some of the easiest ones to grow. I like those.
Me too.
Yes. But some plants don't need much care at all, and others need, you know, quite a bit.
They're needy.
Yeah, they're needy plants, and I don't like needy plants. I like kind of they're just tough, and they just suck it up and say, you can't hurt me, buddy. I'm tough.
Hercules.
So the balance of the water, the light, and the food is a priority. That's the only priorities. And and I'll talk about those things individually here too much.
Okay.
Of any of these three or too little will result in sickness or death to the plant. That's simple. So if you're just a beginner, do some research, ask some questions for the best results. That's what's going to happen. And there are books, you know, with pictures of plants and descriptions of those plants with the photos. Or like I say, get on the internet and look under indoor plants, and bingo, they'll come up with more than you can even imagine. Anything that would grow, you know, from Southern California all the way down into the middle of South America or stuff, would grow here as an indoor plant. You know, because that's the kind of climatic conditions that it needs and wants and will thrive in.
Probably so. Even China.
Maybe Southern China.
Southern, okay.
Where it's warmer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where the, never mind.
Anyway, I'm going to start with light. Light is necessary for plant photosynthesis.
Uh-huh.
If you don't know what photosynthesis is, figure this is the easy way. Yeah. That's the process by which a plant makes its food, okay? The plant utilizes like carbon dioxide and water, and it converts that into sugars and starches, and which causes the plant to grow. It's that simple.
Okay.
And you add a little bit of fertilizer in there, and it's got the best of both worlds. And in a high light, you know, a big light, very bright light for the plant, this is going to create large quantities of food because the plant is more active.
Ah.
And causing, you know, quick and healthy growth. You'll see that almost immediately. And then with a low light, you know, something that's not very bright, not by a window, you know, it's kind of semi-dark most of the day, the plant creates less food because as a result it's slow, it doesn't have enough light to manufacture its own food. So if you have a plant that's kind of, you know, just kind of sitting there not doing anything, check your light source. You got a window nearby, you got a window sill you could stick it on, and you'll see a real difference in probably, you know, a couple of weeks. And vice versa, you got one that's growing gangbusters and you want to slow it down, put it in a shady room.
I'm going to try that with that vine. But
yeah. Well, you just pull it up and lay it on the ground. It'll do the thing there.
Pops up again.
Yeah. But what's important is light intensity. You know, like these lights in this room here are, you know, not high intensity, but they're kind of, I would say they're moderate because, you know, we can actually see each other and we're not blinded by
they're
it.
They're kind of fake light.
Right. And the duration of the light and the quality is important. usually full intense light or very little light will have adverse effects on indoor plants. Mm. I mean, that's, you know, so you want to try for a happy medium, like say a half a day light for best results. And some plants can take more than a half a day, but if you're new to the game and you bring this brand new good looking plant home, just don't stick it in a window that gets light 24 hours a day. You know, just maybe morning sun, afternoon shade, or vice versa. You know, morning is shady until, say, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then it gets some good light. So just experiment with it. Just move it around and see how it responds. And insufficient light, like I said, is going to produce tall, spindly plants because they're reaching for the light.
Oh, okay.
You know, they're
searching.
Exactly. And it'll have small leaves, and maybe the leaves are going to turn yellow, and you think, well, gosh, why are they dropping off? Well, it doesn't have enough light. That's what you want to do is check your light source. Does it need a window? Does it need a grow light? You know, usually you can get by with a window kind of thing rather than a grow light. But if you're really a intense indoor gardener, you know, grow lights are cool. I mean, it'll work and it'll improve that thing.
Some people are.
Yeah. Now, flowers on a plant, an indoor plant that flowers and you don't have enough light, the flowers are going to be pale. They're not going to be vibrant. They're going to be small. And
they're going to be sickly looking.
Exactly. Or there's no flowers without sufficient light. You know, it just doesn't have the energy. The plant doesn't have the energy to produce that. And so because it takes a great amount of energy for that to happen. But there may be no growth at all, like I said, and it's going to be death. So it's not what you want. You want to get that happy medium in there. So. Mm. And sometimes too much light has its own set of problems besides growing too fast. It could wilt, you know, because it's just too much for that particular plant, or the leaves bleach out, or they, like I said in the earlier segment, they die. They just fall off because they're...
That's not good for anybody.
No, they're not tuned into that because that's not how they were raised. That's not how they were grown. And if you go into a place that has indoor plants, you'll see that the indoor plants have a lot of indirect light, and they do well. They don't grow too fast. They don't grow too slow. They're just, you know, just about right. Yeah. And they're easy to control, easy to water, easy to fertilize, that kind of thing. Whereas if we put them in our greenhouse, which has kind of a shade cloth over it, that's still too much light. Not in the winter, not in the fall, not in early spring, but say from mid-April to mid-October, that would be too much light. Mm. And they would toast up real quick.
Wow.
they're going, no, you can't do that. Don't do that. Get me out of here. But and watering, of course, can be tricky. It always is. Too much or too little is bad. Either way, you know. So you gotta get the happy medium there, and it's gonna take some time to learn what your plant needs to thrive on. And from experience, I've learned a lot because I've killed my share of plants, you know, indoor and outdoor, simply because I gave them too much of a good thing, like. Not so much water, but fertilizer. I like to see them grow fast and be real healthy. So if it called for a teaspoon of a certain fertilizer, I give it two, you know, maybe three.
Sure.
You know, just kind of spread it around. Yeah. That's okay. And then within a week when the leaves are popping off the plant like popcorn, you go, too much fertilizer on that one, I guess.
Too much.
Too much. We got a break.
We do.
Okay, I will return.
And we're still waiting for you to call us.
Yeah, 673-4464. Please call.
On the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Mama Mia, what will they think of next, huh?
Oh, I don't know. Automatic hippopotamuses. I'm Josh. Frozen fish or whatever.
Yeah, cut them up before they hit the land. Man.
Yeah. But anyway, we're talking about indoor plants today, how to select them, how to care for them, what's good for them, what's bad for them. You know, indoor plants are cool. I mean, they do well. They don't take a whole lot of care. And when you, in case you missed it in the last segment, I've killed my share simply by giving them too much care, and then I've killed a few with no care, just to go, to swing from one extreme to the next. So, and I've got a little story here, and I've told this story before, but 1 year I had to go to Medford to a couple of nurseries to check out some things. And as I was leaving town on the south end of Medford, I saw a nice small nursery and a gift shop. So, what the heck, I'll stop in there. And so I looked around and saw, lots of stuff, but I saw these beautiful orchids sitting there, and it was close to Christmas, kind of first part of December thing, and I thought, wow, that is so cool. I think I'll just buy that, and it's healthy and full of blooms, a great half day light was in there, and all that kind of stuff. But so I bring it home, and my wife, of course, was very appreciative of the orchid, full of blooms, like I say, kind of an orchid color. And I stuck it over by a window. It's a fairly large window, but it doesn't get sun till, probably 10 in the morning. Well, in the wintertime, it doesn't get much sun at all because of the how the house is twisted. And it was doing good. And after a couple of months, I was looking at it one day, and I thought, boy, that orchid is looking sick, because the leaves were falling off, and there were no new blooms, and I thought, geez Louise. And after a bit of investigation, my problem was I hadn't watered it for 2 months, but somehow I was under the belief that orchids didn't need a lot of water, and it was in a small pot, probably a 6-inch pot, but I thought, well, it's got sufficient moisture in it. It looks good. But the plant looked done. I mean, done. So I thought, I better, and my wife remarked about how sick it looked. And the leaves were kind of, kind of curled and not very colorful, had some yellow streaks in it, that kind of thing. Most people would throw it out. Well, I'm not going to throw that out. So I began the regular watering process, and then I liquid fertilized it very lightly so I wouldn't burn off the rest of the leaves. And 1 month went by, no change at all. At about 6 weeks, I was looking at it, and new tiny growth began to appear on the stem. Little bumps, like maybe a quarter, not even a quarter of an inch, probably an eighth of an inch kind of sticking out from the main stem. I thought, well, okay, hey, there's some life there. And so in 3 months, we had an orchid again with new leaves. I mean, I just kind of babied it a bit. And there was, 3 months later, brought it back from the dead, or almost dead. And we had new leaves and an orchid with new leaves also has some new blooms. The blooms took a little bit longer, but like I say, my mistake was, because I think overwatering is such a detriment to the plants, I thought they liked it dry. And I was wrong. The orchid has been happy now for the past 7 years. It's gotten bigger. It blooms all the time, and it's on the way. We need to I need to repot it into something larger, but it's just one of the learning processes that I constantly go through. So. And I learn stuff all the time. I mean, every day I learn something new about plants or planting or sprinkler systems or something. And, and most indoor plants, like lukewarm water, by the way. You don't take it out of the ice box and give it ice water. that does not go over well. They don't want to jump out of the pot and say, "What are you doing, me man? Quit it." And lukewarm means just barely lukewarm. Yeah. Just take the edge off it. That's all. Because I said, very cold water is not good. It won't kill it, but it's not good. It will not produce happiness in that plant.
They love Sutherland tap water. It's lukewarm when it
all
comes
the time.
Out.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I'm probably going to get in trouble for that.
That's okay. That's good advertising. Okay. Oh. But that cold water also can damage leaves. I mean, that's the first indicator that the water is too cold, that the leaves start looking bad. And, just because our ice water is tasty on a hot day for us, I mean, they don't mean those plants like it, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
So, and don't overwater. How many times have you heard me say that? 1,612.
At least.
At least. And this causes root rot because they're in a little pot. And even if you've already transplanted into a bigger pot, overwatering eventually will rot the roots and the whole thing just goes out the door. So
what a waste of time that would be.
Yeah, 6 months later, you go, what happened to that plant? It was looking so good when I bought it, Wintergreen, my plant's dead, uh-huh. And you're responsible. Oh, golly. I've heard that a time or two.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. And I played detective and asked them questions, and they... And they indict theirself by giving me the truth.
Oh, Perry Mason.
That's right. Yeah, Perry Mason. But always check for soil moisture prior to watering. Stick your finger down there and see, is it damp at all? If it's damp at all, you're good. If it's bone dry, give it a shot of water. That's simple. And if you use well-drained potting soil, overwater will be less of a problem. Mm. If you're repotting an existing plant that you bought at a nursery or a floral shop, and it's outgrowing its pot, so you say, well, it needs a bigger pot, and the good combination stuff will really do it well, and overwatering will, like I say, be minimal. And when I do that, I usually mix in a little bit of sand and some fine grind bark mulch with the potting soil, mix it very thoroughly, and it's kind of got the best of all worlds there. And it'll drain well, which is important, and it'll also get some nutrition from the ingredients, and it's going to root real well simply because it's an easy rooting Oh, we got a call.
We do have
okay.
A call. Hey there, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi.
Hello.
Well, it's not about houseplants. It's about my zucchini.
Your who?
Zucchini.
Zucchini. How can you? Okay, what's it doing?
It gets beautiful flowers, and then the flower comes off right where it hooks onto the stem.
Mm-hmm.
It's not being eaten,
And how often do you water?
Well, plant looks good. Flower is good. It's in a pot.
It's in a big pot. Uh-huh.
And I water it every couple of days.
Every couple of days? Well, why don't you cut back on that a day or so and see if there's an improvement, because that may be a problem in a pot. About how big is this pot, would you say?
Oh, about half barrel size.
Oh, gosh. It should do well in that.
It should. I thought so. And but, I say, and the plant looks absolutely great, and the flowers look beautiful.
Huh.
And they open up, and the next morning I go out, and they're laying there on the ground.
Huh. Well, maybe, I don't, to give you a real solid answer, I'd have to see the plant, and maybe there's an animal doing it, or do you live in a neighborhood with
cats?
Yeah, cats, who knows? I mean, somebody maybe messing with your plant, or is it?
In other words, let's cut back on water and see if that helps, huh?
Uh-huh. Huh. So,
I just...
Go ahead.
No, it's just happened three times. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they just get the flower on, opens up beautifully, and then zap.
Now, have you done this before with a zucchini, the same kind of thing?
No.
No. Okay. Well, maybe it doesn't have enough strength in the overall plant because of the pot size. It might be, you know, because if the leaves are looking good and they're growing and all that kind of stuff, but then you get this weight, you know, and I know what a zucchini can do. Some of them get pretty big pretty fast. And if it's hanging outside the pot, maybe it doesn't have the strength, just the strength in the plant.
It's not out of the pot.
It's not hanging out of the pot, huh?
Nope, not yet.
Okay, well, shoot. I don't know. It's a mystery to me, ma'am.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, if I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Okay, I'll call back and tell me.
Yeah, please do.
Okay.
Thank you for the call.
Will do.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, perfect for a break. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. We're back talking about Perry Mason. No, we're not.
Perry Mason, yeah. Plant specialist.
Yeah.
Right. Well, if you have a question, 673-4464, and a lady in the last segment called me with a question that I couldn't answer. I think that's the first one I couldn't answer. At least to my satisfaction.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe if I could see the plant and the situation, I could tell more. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's hard to grasp a picture of what's actually happening.
You can't see it.
Yeah. So anyway, we're talking about indoor plants and how to care for them and some of the best ones around that are easiest to get started with. And if you have a question, 673-4464, and we'll get you in here and you can ask your question. And as I said 242,000 times, overwater is one of the quickest ways to kill a plant, and you can also spot it very quickly if you notice brown tips on the leaves or on the margin of the leaf, if you want. Stick your finger down there and feel around. See what the soil's like. If it's only damp, you're okay. Don't worry about it. If it's very wet and soggy, let her dry out. Put her in a sunny location. Let her dry out. Starve it for some water. Make sure that you're not dumping it in there, because more water does not make plants grow. More water rots the roots. We got a call?
We do have a call.
Maybe I can answer this question. Hi.
Hey there, you're
on
the
air. Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, that lady that was talking about the zucchini.
Yeah.
Was she having a hard time getting it to grow fruit?
Yeah, that was that's what the gist of what I got out of the conversation.
That's what I thought too. I could barely hear it, but what I found is you have to have at least two or three zucchini plants in order to get them to produce. Otherwise, they'll just produce the flower, and then the flower will just then fall off. And that's with all the zucchini that I've planted. But if I plant two or three, which you don't want to have more than two or three because your neighbors start to hate you. But,
yeah,
but anyways, you have to have at least, from what I understand, more than one zucchini plant, or it won't pollinate or something.
That's right.
And they won't produce. So
yeah.
Anyway,
and maybe it was my fault because I maybe didn't quite understand the question. So, but
that's what I was trying to understand, was if that's what she was actually asking. Mm-hmm. Was, you know, whether or not.
Yeah. So. Well, anyway, thank you. Thank you for the call and the clarification there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you bet. Well, I do a lot of gardening, so that's how I have to get them. I can't seem to get them to produce just with one. So
yeah.
Anyway.
You don't ever want to have more than three zucchinis in your garden.
No. Everybody starts to hate you.
I know. So. You can't give them away. They hate you. No, get that thing out of here.
when their countertop's covered in them when you go over their house.
Right. Right.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. Hey, you guys have a good afternoon. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye. You bet. Bye.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I didn't think of that. And
I didn't know that.
Well, I'm not quite sure I knew that either. But, it doesn't seem – it seems plausible, but I'm going to have to experiment myself and see if that actually occurs on one that I might do.
Mm.
Because, I can understand the cross-pollination mm-hmm. thing, and maybe that's – maybe that's the whole deal.
Yeah, my dad never planted just one.
Of course not. No, you don't want to plant more than three, though.
Oh, Lord.
Unless you love zucchini. Fried, baked, boiled. fried zucchini ain't bad. We throw some onions and peppers in there with it. You can disguise it pretty good.
It doesn't taste so slimy.
Right, exactly. Boiled zucchini, yeah, I don't know. I'm not an expert at all.
Probably good for the ticker, though, ain't it?
I guess. Who knows?
Who knows, yeah. Today it is. Tomorrow it won't be.
I know. So, anyway, I was talking about wet soil, and, of course, check it. If it's wet, quit it. Quit the watering. If it's dry, give it a shot. Mm-hmm. And once things get going and they're actually – you get into a routine, you may only be watering your plant maybe once a week, maybe every 10 days. But then you got the little spray bottle with a mister. Where you just pull the trigger and mm-hmm. it missed little droplets. That's good anytime, and that's not really a watering. Yeah. It just kind of wets the leaves and refreshes the plant. That's all. So that you could do that every day, and it wouldn't hurt the plant, I don't think.
Yeah.
But it's like pouring in a cup of water in a small plant in a small pot would definitely have a detrimental effect in no time at all. Uh-huh. And you think, well, that plant's no good. Mm. Well, just give it enough to survive and watch it. You can learn so much by paying attention to the plants. Like in our greenhouse, Every winter, my daughter Jill, she plants 5,000 cuttings, I think, something like that, in our heat beds. Mm. And then we bring in the extra stuff, geraniums and things that were left over from the summer and the fall, so that they'll survive through the winter. And the greenhouse is heated, but not real, real hot during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring that stuff in and you put them on the shelves, and we've got all kinds of indoor plants and like flowers and things. And we're real stingy on the watering. I mean, just maybe... even though it's winter and even the temperature in the greenhouse is maybe only about 40 degrees, that's good enough for, keep them alive. That's not a problem. But they have to have some moisture. And we don't fertilize during the winter at all, except, getting into mid-February, we might do a little bit of fertilization or, first part of March, because things are starting to wake up. Yeah. And then as those things are waking up, the weather's warming. And the greenhouse is hotter, so you're watering a little bit more. But, mm-hmm. In the wintertime, just let them go. Let them rest. Exactly. Yeah. Good job. Oh, gosh. But certain indoor plants, of course, grow naturally in dry, warm climates and don't require a lot of water, i.e. cactus. That's they don't need nothing.
Hey.
It's just a matter of learning what your plant needs. It's just like I say, get on the internet and bump it up or however you do that stuff.
Power
it up. Okay, good. And look at it, and there'll be, you know, some good practical information for you to go by and take note of that. And I do it with the old-fashioned way. I have books with colored pictures. And they're all I got to do is turn on the page, and I don't have to turn anything on, and I don't even need electricity. I can just look at that book.
You don't have to look for the mouse?
No, there's no mice in that book. I checked. But here's a stunner, of course, from me. My mother-in-law grew many indoor plants, and they lived down in the high desert south of Susanville, California, on 395, and it was sunny even in the winter and all that. But her plants always looked good because there's always, you know, some good sunlight. Of course, when the snowstorms blew in there was no sun for like 2 weeks. But,
oh, Lord.
Yeah, and the snow would pile up pretty good because it's about 4,400 foot elevation, too. You know, they always look good except for a little bit of dust on the leaves. She didn't dust her leaves very well.
No.
But her specialty plant was Christmas cactus. And that's the one that just has all these beautiful flowers at Christmas time. It's kind of a drooping plant, and you'll find it around Thanksgiving. There's Thanksgiving cactus, and there's Christmas cactus, and there's probably some, you know, maybe there's Valentine's cactus. I don't know. But it's full of flowers. It's great, and it thrives on neglect. And my mother-in-law proved that to me. Because we'd go down there for Christmas sometimes or Thanksgiving.
Sure.
And, you know, I'd always want it. She said, oh, come here and look at my Christmas cactus or look at this. And I mean, it'd be loaded with blooms. And she had them in a spare bedroom that was kind of her work room. And the shades were down halfway, not a lot of light. They were dry as a stinking bone.
Oh,
and they were gorgeous. And I thought,
is that where she had you guys sleep in the cactus room?
Yeah, I had to go in the cactus room. No, we actually got the back bedroom so there. Because all the other kids had left home already.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Now you befuddled my mind.
Cactus.
Yeah, indoor cactus. But she didn't water it very much. And I asked her about it. I said, Mary, why aren't you watering this? She says, well, when you don't water, it blooms better. I said, oh, okay, that makes sense. And, you know, so I was learning way back then about Christmas cactus. And I thought, gee whiz. But she, like I say, she grew many indoor plants. And they always look good. Like I said, except they got a little dusty once in a while, and she kind of take a little I don't know, what do you call them, dust thing, and it's got kind of feather duster. There you go. Between both of us, we picked that one up.
No, I know.
But you know, she dust them off in this dark room, and those guys would just grow. And I asked her, how do you fertilize these things? She said, well, I never fertilize them. I said, oh, okay. And she says, I think she told me she took some eggshells and crunched up the eggshells and put them in the plants from time to time.
Oh.
I thought, well, okay, that's calcium, I guess. And they did well in that respect. But they were always beautiful, and they were always full of blooms. And in the spring, she let the shade in this room go up about halfway so the morning sun could at least come in there, you know, and because it faced east.
Good morning, starshine.
Yeah, right. But she would bring them out around Thanksgiving and put them around the house, and, you know, and that way everybody could enjoy them. But, you know, it was really strange that these weird-looking plants that were beautiful, weird leaves, but beautiful, beautiful blooms on them, didn't need any care. They didn't have to be watered. They didn't have to be monitored. They didn't, you know, I thought, that's the kind of plant I want.
Absolutely.
that was good. But, and then another thing on indoor plants. Many of the indoor plants, they don't like air blowing on them, like hot or cold. So if you've got one of those, you know, wall furnaces and blows hot air, or even in cold air in the summer, don't put your plants around it. Many of them don't like that.
Hey.
Keep them out of that, any draft.
Panicky.
Yeah. And especially forced heat. Forced heat. I mean,
I don't even like that blowing on me.
No. And air conditioning. They don't like that.
Eh.
No. temperature on indoor plants is best around, you know, between 65 and 75 degrees. That's their optimum temperature. But they're good down. I've put them in the greenhouse and it's like 39 or 40 and they survive. They're not growing very well and they're just kind of, you know, they're not shivering either, but they're surviving.
They're doing okay.
Yeah, because, you know, we need the space and that's a good place to put them and that's good. But 65 to 75 is like the ideal optimum temperature for them. And of course, there are some plants that will thrive, indoor plants will thrive in a cooler temperatures, but not freezing, of course. Mm-hmm. And temps above 85 degrees, they're okay, but it's better if you don't have your house at 85 degrees, or if you want to set them outside in the spring.
Yeah,
just beware of what the temperature is and put them out in the sun for, you know, a half a day or something like that. And while they're out on the patio or something, you take a hose and just, you know, hose them off, get any bugs off or dust or dirt, or that kind of thing. And they respond well to that. And, you know, when they quit dripping, just bring them back in and put them there. They're going, whoa, I like that. You know, our once a year shower. Thank you.
Yes.
That's good.
Hey, can we take a break?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Rattling on here.
That's all right. All right. We'll be observing war on the other side of this on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, we're back. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. I got it right.
Good, that's good. I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking about indoor plants and, you know, how to take care of them, what's good, what's not, and I didn't get to the types of plants. I'm going to do that next week. I'll have a whole list of, you know, the good tough ones to start with and what to look for. And then once you get familiar with the tough ones and have good success with them, you can graduate into the tougher ones. Tougher in that they're a little fussy on where they're placed or how they're watered or how
kind of like ex-wives.
Well, I don't know about that. I got my original, but once you get the basic experience, you can move up to more difficult indoor plants that will work for you and you'll have success with.
Yeah,
but I was talking about light also in the last segment. And the only thing I wanted to see, if you got like a large window with sun all day where it can heat up quickly, the heat can cause leaf damage and dryness to occur more rapidly.
Not good.
And you have to, you know, really keep an eye on it. You want to move it out of that full all day sun because it's actually radiating heat at the same time with a window that big. And also keep in mind, like I said earlier, forced air heat or air conditioning will lower the relative humidity of the room, of course, and the plants don't like that. And maybe a cactus does, but most don't.
Most don't, yeah.
And one way to raise the relative humidity is to place plants closer together, you know, like touching in a grouping type thing. And they like that mini forest atmosphere.
That because, closeness.
Yeah, and I guess maybe they talk to each other. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I've never heard them. But they're going to be happier, and they're going to grow better and group together. And, you know, that made sense to me. But they'll also grow very well alone. Alone meaning...
solitary.
You know, there's 10, maybe you got a plant here and 10 feet away there's another plant.
Oh, okay. Well,
they're not, you know, bonding or anything like that. But
they can look at each other.
They can look and wave their leaves at one another. But when they're grouped like that, it just seems they're happier and they grow better. You know, and I've seen it in our greenhouses, as I was talking about earlier, you know, we got them kind of grouped really tight, and there's thousands of them in there.
Yeah.
And everybody looks good. And then you wait for spring, to, you know, when weather to warm up to start bringing them out.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're a little bit more separated. They still look good, but, you know, having them close together like that, they're not growing real fast, so you don't have to keep pruning them or anything like that. But it's... you know, I guess they just feel better. I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. I had never thought of that.
Well, I never thought of that either until I was doing my research, and then I started thinking about all the plants that we have in groupings like that. Because in our retail building where we ring people up, we've got lots of indoor plants in there, and some of them are cuddled pretty close together, and they look good. They must bond with one another.
They like each other.
I don't know what they're doing, crying out loud.
I don't want to know.
But they'll be happier, like I say, and misting those plants is going to be healthier for them in their group setting. And, you know, you can do it individually or just do the whole. So you got 5 or 6, 10 plants kind of. They don't have to be overlapping, you know, smothering one another.
Right.
But within... you know, 6 inches of one another, they just seem to do better. So maybe they do have feelings.
Well, could be. They like their feelers out.
Yeah. So how are we doing on time?
Got about a minute.
A minute? Well, next week, like I said, I will I'll name some plants that if you've never done it before, these will be easy ones to start with, and they'll be attractive plants, the tough plants. You know, I mean, cactus, nobody can hurt a cactus, I don't think. But I remember one of my clients bought a cactus and within 6 months killed it. And, of course, they killed it by overwatering it.
Oh, I was going to say, how?
You don't ever have to water that puppy. Just leave it alone.
Did you see the look on my face? Huh?
Yeah, I know.
You killed a cactus?
You killed a cactus? How did you do that? But anyway, next week we'll get into different plants, and I've got a few more hints of growing and surviving too,
including a jade plant.
And yes, a jade plant. Jade is good.
All right, where are you located in Winston, Mike?
Well, we're about a half mile south of Winston on Highway 99. Look for the big green roofs and the most beautiful nursery in Douglas County.
Absolutely.
And we've arrived at our place.
There you go.
Okay, thanks for listening.
Thank you. The Afternoon Report is next.